Thank the Lord this morning for the privilege that we have to come together and look into the Word of God. I have a message this morning that the Lord gave to me. The method of delivery may not be preaching. You know the difference. I told Renee this morning, I said, I read about the apostles preaching. It seemed like Jesus, we would classify it more as kind of talking to the people and teaching. And that's really the nature of what the Lord has put on my heart. I've written three questions on the board. What, how, and why? And we live in a very troubled, confused world. Spiritually, the religious world, even among sometimes as God's people, there's lots of questions of what and how. How am I supposed to live? And why? Why am I supposed to do this? Why am I supposed to live? And we all have our unique set of questions. I'm also very aware of the fact this morning that a lot of times when we have these questions, that they're not peculiar to us. When you start talking with people, you will find that a lot of people have had the same questions, even in the people of God. Why do we do this? Or why has this been taught against? Or I've never heard that before. Where did that come from? Why is that being taught? Or what does this mean? And it gets down to the very basics of what living for God is all about. And I just want, by the help of the Lord, to share what He put on my heart in a very simple, basic form. We want to have a vision of what it means to serve the Lord. Because if we don't have a vision of what it really means to serve Christ, we're going to get disappointed. We're going to get hurt. We're going to be very confused. And it takes a divine revelation from the Lord to really understand what it means to serve the Lord and why we serve the Lord, why we are to serve Him. We are living in an age, and I don't think our age is any different than in the past. We've studied some church history. Maybe we'll continue to do that when we get back from Monarch and finish some things up. But we live in a time where there are pressures from people that we would term fanatics or fanaticism. They take the Word of God and they add to it. And they teach as doctrine their opinions. And I will say that we're taught against that in the Word of God. And then on the other side, there are pressures, and all of these are not outside of the camp. We experience these pressures amongst God's people. Sometimes they're good-intentioned people, sometimes they're not. Then there's another side of people sometimes that pulls to see how close to the world they can get and still say that I'm saved, but I can get as close to the world. And so those are labeled as they're liberal or they're compromised. And so how do we know where the balance is? How are we to know what is really right and what is really pleasing to the Lord? Because do you know what, for most of us, do you know what balanced is? Balanced is what we think. Balanced is our opinion, and if they're on this side of my opinion, they're a fanatic, and if they're on this side, they're liberal. And so we need something more than just our opinion. God created, we say, what is this all about this morning? Doesn't matter how long you've been saved, we need to come back to basics sometimes. What is this all about? God created man because He wanted to have a relationship with him. He desired to have communion. And so He created Adam and Eve because He wanted voluntary worship. That's why He put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden, so they would have a choice. Well, all of us still have a choice whether we're going to serve God or not. And the Lord never forces anybody to serve Him. That's basic, isn't it? But sometimes we lose sight of that. The Lord does not force anybody to do what's right, to serve Him. Which means I don't have the authority to come into your life and force you to do what's right either, do I? I have a responsibility to my children when they're young and God has put them in under our roof. I have a responsibility. But there comes a place that they make the decision themselves. They're free moral agents. God is interested in voluntary service to Him this morning. It's why He created mankind. And He desired to have a relationship of love. That's why He created us. That is the foundation. And we're going to come back in the why. But even in the what, it was God's desire to have communion with mankind. And it was based on relationship, it was based on voluntary service, but sin is what separated Adam and Eve from God in the garden. It was sin that separated them. It is sin that still this morning separates you and me, if there's sin in our life, it's sin that separates us in having a relationship with God. It's not about coming to church. That's an important part. It's important to do certain things, but if there is sin in our life, there's nothing we can do to bridge the gap between us and God, as long as there's sin. That is the reason that Jesus came and died on the cross, that through His blood, and I don't know how it happens, I don't know how it works, but it's divine, that through the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, we have the privilege of being forgiven of our sin. The wrong that we have done, all of the transgressions, all of the things that we did that we knew God didn't want us to do, there is forgiveness from that sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why the scripture says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. If there are people, and there are people that commit wrong, Jesus died because He wanted to save them from their sin, that we could be brought back into a relationship with God. So what is this all about this morning? Why are we here? I'm here because of that. I'm here because Jesus died for my sin, and He forgave me that I could have a relationship with God. That is the foundation of everything that the Church of God teaches and believes and practices, is founded upon the principle that this is about a personal relationship with God. I cannot give you a personal relationship. You can come, see, was mentioned that, you know, the Anglican Church, and you can talk about many others. Coming and being baptized in the name of a church or having your name on a membership book does not give relationship with God. What brings us into a relationship with God is, as the scripture says, we are reconciled to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Which means that just because we know the truth and we know what God wants us to do, we are still sinners until we come and ask the Lord to forgive us. And when we humble our heart and we repent and turn away from our sin, that is when we are forgiven of all of our sins and we've been reconciled with God. So when people say, what is this all about? It's about relationship with God. That's what this is about this morning. And when we go to camp meeting, this is what it's about. And I want to encourage all of us, don't forget the foundations. Whatever is taught, whatever one person says, and whatever someone preaches, remember that this is about your personal relationship with God. That's what this is about. So, what do we do then? What do we do? We want this relationship with God. What is right? What is right? There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, isn't there not? Isn't there? But the end is death. So what is right? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What is right? Psalms 119, verse 105, says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So what are we supposed to do? I know you know this, but this is what we want to do. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is what reveals to us God's purpose for our life. And when we start to say, what am I supposed to do? So I go to this minister and I go to that minister. You know, I've been doing some studying. There are some issues that have risen recently in the last few weeks. More than one issue that the devil would like to stir the pot. And I've been doing some research and studying, and I told another minister on the phone this week, I said, we can quote all of the ministers that we want, but it depends on when you're quoting them many times. Because I went back and I found quotes from their writings of even the Pioneer Church of God ministers, and they contradicted each other. So then what happens is people choose what they want to hear, and ultimately the what is not about what Brother So-and-so said. The what is about what the Bible teaches. So what are we supposed to do? Lord, I have a relationship with You. And I want to do what You want me to do. The Bible is an expression of the what from God to us as a people. It's the Word of God. And anytime someone teaches or tries to legislate something that is not scriptural, that is from man and not from God. The what is founded in the Word of God. So we say, okay, we believe the Bible, but you know, I said, but there's always a counterpoint, isn't there? But look at everybody that teaches it differently. This is why it is imperative that we have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Over in John 14, 26 and 27, it says, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled." This morning, if you are faced with questions of the whats and the hows and the whys, Jesus has said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. He sent the Holy Spirit to guide us in His Word. The Holy Spirit will never reveal something to you that contradicts what the Bible teaches. And I look at, and I know these are labels, but I look at people that have a fanatic spirit, and usually you will start to see carnality. It doesn't take too long usually either. You'll start to see carnality in their actions. And you look at people that have this liberal attitude of anything goes, and you will start to find, as you watch, some clear violation of Scripture. The Holy Spirit can be trusted this morning in your life to guide you if you have the desire to please God. If we don't have the desire, see, the what is based on desire. This is voluntary service. If you desire at whatever cost to please the Lord, the Word of the Lord, and this goes back to what we've talked about in church history, but you will find that the Word of God and the Spirit of the Lord will lead you and answer your questions when you need the answers. This works, saints. But when we start basing a personal relationship with God on the person sitting next to us, we're going to start getting in trouble. I am thankful we have people that have shown we have a godly heritage. We learn by that. There are examples. We have a great cloud of witnesses. But remember, the what is a personal relationship. And that means that what we teach should be the Word of God. The Spirit of the Lord is the one that gives that Word life to us. It's what brings it alive, that I can know. And I say, okay, I know the Lord teaches this, the Word teaches this, but I'm still not quite sure on the specifics. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. If you're honest with yourself, I find that with liberalism, fanaticism, there is a lack of intellectual integrity. There's a lack of intellectual integrity because people start picking and choosing. But when we say, Lord, I want your will. And when I feel uncomfortable with something, and it kind of seems like maybe I'm starting to violate it, and I feel that within me, the Lord kind of saying, that's not the way to go. That's not the right thing to do. That's the Spirit of the Lord. And we can trust the Holy Spirit this morning. You can put your life and rest in knowing that the Holy Spirit will lead us individually. And as a people, He's going to be faithful to us. The Holy Spirit will be faithful to us. And I'm thankful to be able to trust Him this morning. So how are we supposed to live? You know, what are we supposed to live? The Word of God. What the Bible teaches. Do you know that most religious organizations today, you can know that they're false because they violate clear black and white scripture? You know, that's not just saying, well, every church says they're right. They do. I mean, you don't very often find a church that says, we're a false church. Come worship with us. Everybody says they're right. So then what makes us any different this morning? It only has to do with your relationship with the Lord. That's what it has to do with. And then saying, Lord, I'm not going to justify or excuse anything in my life that's contrary to what the Bible teaches. And if I'm not there, I'm not going to try to say, well, we don't have to live that way. My prayer is going to be, Lord, would you help me to get there? Because I'm not there right now. All right? So how are we supposed to live? The scripture says over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, 14, it says, follow peace with all men and what? And holiness. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Which lets me know when I start thinking about the what, it's relationship. That's what it's about, voluntary relationship. It is about the Word and the Spirit being my guide in my personal life. But how am I supposed to live? What the Bible teaches is that it's to be a life of holiness. Holiness, by definition, is sanctified. They're the same word in the Greek. In the New Testament, when you read sanctify, it's the same word as holy in the Greek. It means pure. It means unmixed. It means the same throughout. So when we begin to teach and preach as a body of people, principles of holiness. What it has to do with in my personal life is, Lord, I know that the scripture says I need to live a holy life. Holiness means I'm not mixed with the things that the sin and the defilement of the world. So what's dictating my behavior is not what's out in the world. But what makes me who I am if I'm living a holy life is, Lord, my utmost desire is to please you and to be obedient to the Word of God. So if the Word of God teaches this, and I say, I just don't see it that way, I'm going to say, but the Bible teaches it, so Lord, that's what I'm going to do. Because that's holiness. In practical holiness, you don't have to understand every T crossed and I dotted. But what you have to have is a heart that says, Lord, whatever you want me to do. And this is where many people can sit right amongst the saints and have can grown up hearing truth and depart from it because in their heart they're saying, I don't want to live that way. That's disobedience then. And that's what separates us from God. Because how can we have a relationship when we are saying, I'm not going to do it the way that the Creator said, this is how I want you to live. And we can keep coming to service and we can start influencing people to go this way and go this way. And the Lord is saying to us in our heart, this is the way. Live holy, unmixed, undefiled, being willing to submit to anything I ask of you in your life. And you know, you will find that people that live that way, there might be some minor differences, but they're not going to be too far apart. You know that? Because unmixed with the world, untainted, holy. The scripture in 1 Corinthians 6:20, another very familiar passage, it says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, now this is the how am I supposed to live? He said, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So when we start talking about things, and we start talking about these hot button issues of what do we do, when we start talking about specifics, folks, this is the foundation. How? Lord, I want my life to be glorifying to you. So when people look on us, our actions, our attitudes, that it's holy. Like the Bible says, loving, kind, gentle, long-suffering, meek. That's spirit, isn't it? And he said, glorify God in your body. The first thing that God did when Adam and Eve sinned was put clothes on them. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, folks. The world today is so immodest that people almost don't even think anything about it. A lot of times, I don't want that to influence my thinking because we want to be holy and modest and clothed and not do something to draw undue attention to the flesh. That's the how. Lord, I want to be holy. I don't want to do something to promote my physical body to draw someone's attention to it. That's the whole principle of modesty, saints. We don't all have to wear the stripes going horizontally versus vertical. It doesn't mean everybody has to wear black and white because God gave us preferences. But it means in the choices and decisions that I make on the how is that, Lord, I want to glorify you. And I don't want to do anything that promotes self or a spirit of pride or mixed with the world. This is the how. Whether ye eat or drink, therefore, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That, Lord, I want to be a vessel to honor you and serve you. So, why? Okay, relationship, that's the what. The how is holiness. His word, through his word and through his spirit. Well, why? Jesus gave us the answer when the lawyer came and asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? You know, that lawyer came trying to tempt Jesus. You know, people are still doing that today. You know, the scripture says to avoid foolish and unlearned questions, knowing they do gender strife. The scripture says that. This man came to Jesus trying to cause a problem. And Jesus answered and gave a very direct answer. He said, the greatest commandment, he said, is love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. This is the why. Why do we do what we do as a people? Why does the Church of God teach what it teaches? Well, because what the Bible says, but the why, or the how, why, it's all based on love. So, Brother Michael, why do you do that? Because I love the Lord. Brother Michael, why don't you go there? Because I love the Lord. I value my relationship with God, and I find that when I start going to those places, it kind of dulls my relationship. There's a breach in my relationship with God, so I don't go there anymore. Why do you dress like that, Brother Michael? Why? Because I love the Lord. I want to live holy. I don't want to be a reflection of the immorality of the world. I don't want to go somewhere that would cause, if we love our brothers and sisters, we don't want to dress in a way that would cause a problem for someone. Because we love God, and Jesus said, and second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. If all the women in this country really loved their neighbors as their self, they'd keep their clothes on, wouldn't they? That's what modesty is about. It's about loving one another and loving God. It's not, and so that's the why. So everything that we do, some could come up here and we could make the list of rules on the board, but do you know? There's a place the Bible teaches not to do some things, folks. It does. It teaches to do some things. You know, there's negatives and positives. Don't do this and do that. In their New Testament, there are commandments in the New Testament. But we can't forget the why. The why is because of love. It's because of a relationship with God. The how is His holiness and His word. And the reason has to do with because I love the Lord. Which means then that we individually or as a people can never legislate holiness. We can't legislate holiness. Because we can make a list and say, thou shalt not go to the movies. Okay? Thou shalt not have a television in the home. Thou shalt not wear this. Thou shalt do this. Do you know that all of those things the carnal man could do? Person that's not saved could follow a list of rules, right? So the rules don't save us. It has to do with the why. It's because I love you, Lord. That's why I live like I do. That's why I don't want to go to some of these places, because it's so mixed up with things that are not holy, and it affects my thinking, brings temptation before me. So, Lord, I love you, so why would I put myself in the way of temptation? Because I love you, Lord. And so some says, well, the church has all these rules you have to follow. I'm standing here this morning as your pastor to tell you that rules will not save you. They will not keep us saved. It has to do with the why. So there is a place for teaching. There's a place for instruction. That you want to talk about modesty? Let's talk about modesty. But you can only do it on the foundation of the what, how, and the why. It has to do with a personal relationship of love for God and your fellow man. You want to talk about divine healing this morning? What's divine healing about? Divine healing and trust in God is something that cannot ever be legislated. Can't ever be done. It has to do with a personal trust in your relationship with God, that the Lord has shown you what His will is in your life, and you say, Lord, whatever I do, whether I suffer or not, I want to follow the leadings of your Spirit. That's what it's about. I can't legislate that to you. There's no body of ministers that can legislate holiness, folks. And I know that some have got in their minds that the church of God will legislate and you have to do this. Folks, you don't have to do anything. But if you want a relationship with God, if you want to walk with the Lord and you want that peace and you want that real, you want to make heaven your home, then it has to do with relationship. And how to have that relationship is through a life of daily holiness before the Lord. And why are you doing it? It's not so everybody will look at me and I kind of fit in with the group that I worship with, and everybody thinks I'm a saint in good standing. That will only carry us so far, folks. What matters is that, Lord, I'm living this way because I personally love you. And sometimes along our journey, the Lord begins to reveal, and we learn, or through teaching of the Word of God, and someone says, you know what, this is an influence here, and there's a power there, and maybe I haven't been doing it. Let's not translate that into, oh, they're making a rule. But if we love the Lord, let's look at those things and say, you know what, that is true. Lord, I love you. I don't want anything. Maybe there's been some hindrances in my relationship that I wasn't aware of. And if I learn something more about my wife and I make a change, and it can make a stronger relationship, then I'm faced with a decision. Am I willing to have a stronger relationship? Same way with our walk with God. If we want a stronger relationship with God, let's not just translate everything into, oh, that's a rule. But let's recognize that this is something that can draw me closer in a stronger relationship with God. So we can't legislate holiness. There is a lot of compromise amongst, I'm just going to say it like it is, amongst people that we have fellowshiped with for years. Okay? The enemy's working hard. What the enemy would like to do is cause this unbalanced reaction. All right? And I've watched it over the years. People that have been in fanaticism, I've watched the pendulum swing to being, frankly, compromised from what the Word teaches. And there's these reactionary spirits, folks. If we want to stay steady in the Lord, this is where we're going to have to base our life. And when there is teaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we want to be sure that we're not seeing that as a rule. But we want to see, Lord, if there's anything that I can change, if there's something that will enhance my relationship with God, that's why I want to do it, because it's a personal relationship of love. And I don't want to be swayed, and I don't want to have a reactionary spirit on one side or another. But Lord, I want to be steady. And I want to know why. Why do we live this way? You know, the young people struggle with questions of why, you know, the whole issue of what do you wear and what's acceptable and what's modest and what's not and where can you go and what music is it okay to listen to and what it's not. You know, there's a place for godly counsel in those things. But at the end of the day, where it's left is with this right here, your relationship with God. Okay? That's where it's going to be left. Because when we stand before God, we're going to be answerable to the relationship that we had with God for ourselves. Hence, holiness is not legislated. Holiness is a condition of heart that accepts God's word and the leadings of His Spirit. If you be willing and obedient, the scripture says, ye shall eat the good of the land. So, if I'm not willing, have you ever been unwilling, you children, you young people? Have you ever been unwilling to do something, but you were obedient to what your parents told you? You were unwilling, but you were obedient? In other words, I don't want to do it, and you go do it? That's being unwilling, but obedient. Or, you know, the Lord's looking for people that says, Lord, I want to please you. And not only do I want to please you, it's like some people say, oh yes, I want to please the Lord, but they're not obedient. They don't do it. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll what? You'll keep my commandments. That's what this is all about today. This is what the church of God is about. It's about relationship with God, living a holy life, separated from the world for the purpose of being in a place that God can give us the peace that was sung about this morning. Being in a relationship that I can go through the day and I can have a friend walking by my side, enabling me to overcome myself. I don't want the things of this world to hinder that relationship. So that's why we live like we live. That's why we do what we do. It's out of desire for God. I want to eat the good of the land this morning. I want to experience the anointing of the Lord. So, with all of that said this morning, there's a place for teaching from the Word about the how. So how do we serve God acceptably? And that means that there are things, and I could give some examples. I wouldn't want to offend anybody. I don't know. Sometimes it's difficult to give specific examples because there are examples. There are things that the world tells you why they do what they do. And so the world's not trying to defend holiness, right? They just say, yeah, we do this because of this. And it's so carnal and fleshly. Then as a child of God, I have to sit back and say, okay, the world tells me the reason they're doing that. So that, I know that's not good for me then. They say it's carnal themselves. So then as a child of God that wants to live a holy life, then I know that's not good for me. I know that's not the way to live. Well, that means there's a place for instruction. There's a place for us to talk about the things that, you know, the hot button issues, the things that cause controversy. There's a place for teaching on those. Modesty, that's outward man. But you know what's so much more important than the outward man? The inward spirit. I believe if people were to seek God for an inward spirit of modesty, it would take care of most of the outward issues that cause controversy. So then are we going to doctor up the outside? There's a place for teaching. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm all for instruction and teaching. But in the teaching, we cannot forget the why. Because of love for God. So I trust that these few thoughts will be a blessing. I'm thankful for the Word of God this morning. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. And we can go and face life this morning with confidence in the Lord, in His Word, and in His Spirit. And if we stay honest with intellectual and spiritual integrity, we're going to be able to make the reward and the prize that we heard about in the adult Sunday school class. the Lord has laid up a prize for all of us, and that's in heaven. That's how we're going to get there, is through this relationship. Mm-hmm.